Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Belonging. The belonging you seek is not behind you, it is ahead. So keep on listening to this podcast. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, tell your friends. And without further ado, here's the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast. Today, I'm joined by recurring co-host, Corey. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Or first swoo year.
New year, new you, new swoo. That's yeah. The theme, right?
Definitely.
Oh my god. Yeah. Do you have anything fun last night?
Actually just played cards. Just played really? Cards until like real late or early, however you want to say it.
No, I mean same here. Well, I didn't play cards, but I was in my parents' house with my brother.
Mm.
And we searched the basement for our old cards. We found two Charizards.
Oh, whoa. What?
Yeah, I have pictures. We have two Charizards, one from set one and one from set two. And then we found all these
one Charizard?
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So, unrelated to this.
Right.
We're talking about Swoo.
I mean, kind of related. Lateral.
I think Star Wars Unlimited has really just kindled like that drive for collection, mm-hmm. you know, and just like the nostalgia of it all. It's such a good IP. So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so I think today for this episode, really just want to talk about two things. One, I think it's just like the new year, right? So what are we? Maybe make some bold predictions. You know, what are you excited about for this year? And then maybe we can go into talk about planetary qualifiers because they're
coming back
in like
around.
Yep, like next week or is it? I don't know. I think a PQ has already happened, but you know, meta predictions, something about that. There's always something to talk about planetary qualifiers for those competitive people out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, first topic, anything you're super excited about for this year for Star Wars Unlimited?
Oh, well, Jump to Lightspeed sounds real interesting and I'm very excited. I think we mentioned it on the podcast before, but the Carbonite packs have got me very excited. And now we know a little more information on the pricing, which has got me a little bit less excited. But still, I'm very excited to see what they do with these and what do they call them? Like Premier or Peak or whatever.
Prestige cards?
Prestige. The new prestige. Yeah, the prestige cards. I want to see what those are all about. I'm hoping for like a preview of at least what one of them looks like. So
we
can see what we're in for.
So for anyone who might not be plugged in as us, the casual tryhards over here. What about the pricing? It's $300 USD, right?
For a box.
Yeah. That's
25 a pack.
Ooh, I might buy a pack, but I don't know if I can buy a box. Like now that I think about it, it's just a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I do want to get, especially this is the first time they're doing it. And if, you know, and hopefully, you know, we love this game and I want to see it, you know, last for a while and, you know, for 4, 5, 10 years, hopefully we can get a long time with this game. And would love to see that continue for a while. And if that's the case, you know, having that first prestige card set would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But 300 is pretty steep. I mean, like if you're looking at a case, like I don't even know if they sell cases because I think they're also limiting the print run of these as well. So
that's what they said.
I don't know what stores are doing yet, but
I think most stores are maybe limiting to one person. At least a couple stores that I've seen is just one per person, and then they'll probably have to save some for packs and or prize support. Who knows? Like I don't know.
Oof, I don't know if you do prize support with those.
Well, I mean, like that special tournament ones, like showdown or above.
Okay.
I will. You know what? You know what's really exciting for this year because this is the first time they're doing it, right? If people are into like the investing aspect of Star Wars Unlimited, like this, like the selling sealed product or whatever, like since we're running on, this is the first year, so everything's being tested, and after this, it should probably stabilize. So if people are looking to start like, you know, investing like time and energy and collecting into Star Wars Unlimited, if they haven't done so already, like this will be a good indication of the environment, I think, for the long run, because we've seen like Luke pretty much stabilize even through three sets. Like he's around $40-$50 at any given time. So that's always solid. I'm excited to see what Carbonite packs do to the market.
Yeah. And That's it's great for the whales and those
The
guys. You gotta, infuse money into the game. That's the thing. If we want it to survive, we gotta make sure that it's profitable in some way,
Yeah.
right? So.
Yeah. 100%. There's a lot of, yeah. You know what? I never really appreciated card gaming until Star Wars Unlimited and just like the different aspects of just trading cards in general, right? Like you said, like there, you have to, for better or worse, you kind of need whales or like high
You do.
spenders
I mean,
because
I'm not necessarily one of them, but I'm like on that verge a little bit right now. So,
what do they call perp, like dolphins? Is that the other
is that one?
term?
I don't know.
Or porpoises? I don't know. There's like,
Oh,
I
jeez.
remember for mobile gaming specifically, there's like a lot of different terms, I think, for that. So, but yeah, I guess we'll see if we can whale out in the new year. I'm really excited for the Force set. I because I you know
Legends
I'm
of the Force, I
Legends of
think.
the Force.
Yeah.
That well, that's the set I'm really excited about because for this year, because I mean, there's already a pretty strong Force package in the first three sets, but now you're gonna get like hopefully like some mythic characters, like out there, some new synergies, maybe new mechanics for Force specific wielding units, maybe a new Luke that supplants set one Luke.
Yeah, it's interesting. We haven't had a new unit, Luke, and we haven't had a new Vader unit. So that's
Oh,
top two cards.
that's true. Never thought about that. Yeah. That I mean, that's they have to. After I bet you know what it is. Maybe they decided like we have Luke and Vader for the first year. We have Luke and
Right.
Vader for the second year, and maybe they just do that. That way you don't like
Could
oversaturate
be.
with the same characters, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't know. I would think you'd get an Anakin pilot, right? But I don't know about a Vader. Maybe get a Vader pilot card. Who knows? Like
Same dude.
I said, I haven't seen a, like we have not seen those two characters in unit form since set one,
Yeah.
and both of those are the top two cards, financial card wise right now, right? I think. And Vader was
I
always number one for a while with the, green villain.
yeah. At least yeah, financial wise and also at that seven drop cost, right? They're
Right,
just
right.
consistent, like if why not? If you're not, if you're gonna put something at seven drop for that, you for that color for those color combinations, you should definitely do it. Yeah. Okay. So going, what was the third set? Do you remember?
There's it. I mean, the
The
Twilight.
so the third set for the new year, it was.
Oh, we had Jump to Life Speed, Legend of the Force, and
I
oh,
forget.
geez, now it's I'm blanking on it too.
Okay.
Uh-oh, we're gonna have to
I
look it
feel like we
up.
have to do a
Have
quick.
to do a live.
Do a live
Oh
search.
no, we're so unprepared.
This is what happened. Well, this is the beauty of podcasting, because it's long form entertainment. No one necessarily has to know, but we could probably skip that for now.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Someone can correct us in the comments, or send me an email at gil@padawanlimited.com.
There
I'm
you
happy
go.
to give you a shout out for correcting us or giving us the information we just don't have. And this is what I mean. We're the casual tryhards here. We're not necessarily the most in the know all the time, which is good because there needs to be different levels of experience to really appreciate the game.
Exactly. And it's like for everyone, that's like you're saying, like there's the players like us, which we're good. We're not great, I would say. But I mean, I don't feel like I'm a bad player, and I have fun with the game. I'm not gonna. I know my limitations. I'm not winning a Galactic Championship anytime soon,
Yeah.
but I do love competing with it. And this game is really for everybody. It's got
Yeah.
everything for a competitive player, for a casual player, for someone who just wants to dabble in a little bit of both.
Well, you know what? Good pivot into the secondary topic we're going to talk about because, on the road to becoming a galactic champion, you need to get through the planetary qualifiers. First, and so those are all rolling up. I think maybe one or two are happening. If not, after SCG Con this weekend, I think it's the third, fourth, fifth of January 2025, which I'm actually excited to see because SCG Con, in where is it? Probably Ohio or something, Columbus, I think.
Atlanta this
Is it in
weekend?
Atlanta this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend's
Okay,
Atlanta.
is it Atlanta? Sorry, I'm so bad at this. Well, this will help dictate the meta because I think if something goes well this weekend, like for example, I'm still hoping for like an Obi-Wan kind of green combination to come out in a top eight. Like that'll significantly change the meta because I know at least with like Obi-Wan green, for example, whenever I've played against Django, I win all the time, regardless of the player. Like because there's just too much to stop. Like you could exhaust me, but I'm gonna have a bunch of sentinels.
Right, going wide seems like the best way to
You know?
stop them.
Yeah, and then and you ping me, fine. I'm just gonna heal up. You ping me again, I'm gonna heal up the next round. Like it just defeats the purpose of like a lot of his abilities. And then you know you slam in some big cards at the end, like you wing at seven, and then you have the bigger board. You could start racing at that point. I mean that's what I'm praying for. I'm hoping to for some meta shakeups a little bit because right now what are we seeing? We're seeing Jango Tarkin Town. We're seeing Han
Yep.
one yellow. We're seeing a variety of other Tarkin
Bossk
towns.
Blue, I think, is
Bossk.
going to be another one because Bossk counters Jango
Pretty hard,
pretty well as well.
but does it beat all the other ones too?
Bossk, I
Like,
mean, it still is, it's good against a lot. I mean, I
is
think
it?
aggro obviously is going to be its most difficult matchup,
Yeah.
but you can, side for that. But I
Okay.
think Sabine, right, is going to be the most played aggro deck, I would
You think
imagine.
so? I actually think
What do you think, Aniko?
I've been reading the forums, and some like perusing some discords. And what I've read, and again, I have not been part of these competitions, but there's some areas where like you won't see a Sabine in sight. Like,
Well, like our
yeah.
showdown that we participated in a couple weeks ago,
Yeah.
there was only one Sabine, and that was just a last minute decision to
I
play
exactly.
Sabine on
So
that day.
I think that
But
like
your local meta though is different than like a
true.
PQ, I think.
True, 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 true.
It
I
just
mean
Sabine's so consistent, I think, is the key. And maybe like we talked about this as before too. Like maybe Sabine is gonna get you to a top eight, but it probably won't win just because of
too
the
many
other
answers.
decks. Yeah. Because
Yeah.
once you filter everything else out, now you're focused on those top decks. Sabine might not have the legs to get through.
Yeah. I even KTOD, right? Which is like the masses like champion or something like that. Like they kind of downplayed Sabine as like a top deck. I think they put it in like still top 10, but like definitely not the number one deck anymore or close to it. I think that if Sabine, as a bold prediction, I think if
Okay.
Sabine doesn't show up, I think we're gonna see.
In the top eight.
If, yeah, I think though, I just in general, I think Sabines aren't gonna really show up. Like we last set, there was like 33% of the field, something ridiculous was like
Yeah.
Sabines, right? But I think we're not gonna see a
Well,
lot of
half the
Sabines.
field was Boba and Sabine, right? So now we're taking out Bobas. That's going to change things up a lot, right?
Just his father, Jango. I think Sabine is gonna go down, which means that we're gonna see a crap ton of like Emperor Palps cries to the top. I think we've started to already see that, but I think out of all of them, I think we're gonna see a lot of Emperor Palp greens. I think
Double green.
double green Palp is gonna show up a lot in strength, at least in the beginning of the PQs, because Sabines are gonna fall off, which rises the other decks that could not compete, right? Because of just the speed, the sheer speed, right? I think that's what's going to happen.
Interesting. It's hard to say that Sabine's not going to show up at all, but there's going to be an aggro deck, I think. There's always at least an aggro deck, and Sabine is the one of the easier ones to get a hold of and to get the cards for. It's cheaper. Everything's a little cheaper now, though, so.
I think again, yeah. I think, yeah, everything's a little bit cheaper. Hold on for a second. And we're back. Sorry, everybody had some technical difficulties. So if the audio is not to this typical quality or standard, please excuse that. And thank you for your patience and understanding.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So last time we were just talking about PQs. I gave my bold predictions about Sabine and how you'll
Well,
probably
Palp
see.
green, you think, right? That's that is pretty bold because I think like the Palp yellow deck has been a lot more popular recently, but I do really like the green Palp deck. And it's got some tools in set three that help it. And like you said, with Sabine being potentially being on like a lot less of a appearance in these PQs, we could probably see some more control decks, soft and hard control coming in.
Yeah.
I guess my bold prediction would be we're gonna get a deck that hasn't really been on the radar that's gonna come out and win, like a big one. Not like a 30 or 40 like person thing. I think like we're talking 70 to 100
Oh yeah.
person event. I think we're gonna get a deck that maybe hasn't necessarily been on people's radar, and it's gonna come out and like shock people.
Something like a Maul ECL or something.
Yeah, or even like the Han 2 yellow, that's the one that won our like showdown. Like I did not even think about that being a competitive deck at all, really, because I was like more like on the Anakin side of things. But like, and with Tarkin Town, hurting yourself is just the Tarkin
Yeah.
Town meta is just so strong that hurting yourself is such a bad look there to just like, oh, here, just take that guy off the board real easy. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, Han 2 yellow. I think a lot of the yellow red heroism decks are seeing a lot of play and have a really strong package. So I agree with that. If it's not Quinlan, it's like a Han 2 or anything. Even an Anakin yellow is pretty
Yeah,
good.
Anakin yellow too. Because that's the one I was thinking of initially. Like, if I was gonna go yellow hero, Anakin would have been the one. But I could see where Han sneaking stuff out again. Sneaking that stuff out is a little early is real impactful. So it did real well in our showdown. I could see something similar to
Yeah.
that just popping off and surprising people. I think that, with Boba being banned, a lot of people are still experimenting and then just being like, oh, well, this is what people are leaning towards. We're going to do Cad and we're going to do Jango because we can't do Boba now. So
Yeah.
that's the easy route to take. I think the people that are going to put a lot more time and energy into like figuring out what's going to work and what can I expect to see, I think that's going to have some success.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's I think that's fair. I would not be surprised if there was like a this kind of underdog deck that soon becomes meta because of the way things have been shaping out.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully it is something like a heroism red yellow kind of deck. That'd be kind of fun. Heroism needs some representation because like, the villainy has been winning a lot of different things
Yeah, we
like,
got with Bossk and Boba and even the Jango's now coming into play.
Yeah, we need to represent the light side of the force, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I think PQs and they run until March, so there's gonna be a bunch of them. I think there's gonna be a new flavor of the week every week, right? Hopefully it's not just
I don't know
Django
if
every
every
week.
week. I think we'll
You don't think so?
definitely have a pretty consistent top eight, I imagine. But we're gonna have like two or three decks that are, oh, this I didn't see this coming, or later on in the PQs maybe we'll
Yeah.
get something new.
Well, last PQ season, there were some surprise ones like I think out in Colorado, an
Oh, I
Iden
didn't.
Blue
Right.
won the 66 person or whatever. Like,
It was a little smaller, but yeah,
yeah.
it's
There's a lot of small ones. I feel like if someone really wanted to win a PQ, right, and they know they're super competitive, and I guess you're just really confident, you could go to like one of the smaller ones, like in Bozeman. Right, or something like that, where there's going to be like nobody there, and just kind of run the table and just get that day two bye. I mean, if you want to do that, if you have
there's
disposable income,
definitely exactly, there's definitely a strategy and like, oh, I'm gonna go to this way out of this no neck of the woods area and be like, oh, hey, that's a 50 person one. I have a much better chance. I mean, if you're playing against 50, it's a lot better chance than 100. So,
Yeah. So actually. One thing that's going on this year is, we had the Galactic Championships, right?
yeah,
Are you thinking about going?
I'm thinking about going. Yeah, I mean, it's the first major championship event. Like, it's gonna be, I can't miss it. I can't miss
Yeah,
it.
that's one thing I feel like, you have to, right? It's the first one. If you there's gonna be a lot of representation there, and because hopefully FFG is going to take it very, very seriously and like really pop out with some promo stuff, maybe. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, I would love to see them go all out with this and really lean into the fandom aspect of it, the IP, obviously, and make it something that people are excited to go to again in the following years and talk about for years to come, because you want to build this community, you need to have events that are going to get
Yeah.
people excited and looking forward to.
Yeah. I'm actually hoping for this new year, right? New year, new you, new swoo. I'm hoping that at like those big like the Galactic tournaments or whatever, they actually have like kind of like a side event. Like they actually make it almost like a festival, right? And so people like they'll have like a trading table where people can bring all the cards and do the trades, right? Maybe they'll have some vendors, right? I think it's a Caesar's Palace, so they have the space, right? There's stuff that they can do there, like all this other ancillary stuff. Maybe some I don't know about giveaways. I understand that you need to make money, right? But like maybe at least propping up the space so that the community can, really
Celebrate the
celebrate it.
game. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Celebrate this game and what it's been doing for the players and for the community and make it something that's not just, hey, we're going to do a tournament for people. Yeah, I totally agree. I want to see it become an event that you can participate in, even if you're not a competitive player.
Yeah. Bold prediction, next year it's going to be the year after the next Galactic Championship's going to be in Europe. I don't know if that's really bold because you
Ooh.
have to rotate the countries. I don't know if they're going to want to
It's gonna,
completely do,
that's, yeah,
you
I
know?
mean, I can understand wanting to spread it around. I just have to see the data of like where the majority of your players are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get, I mean, being in the US, I feel like, oh, this should always be here. But obviously, this is a worldwide game and
Yeah.
it's you want to celebrate it everywhere you can. And it'd be cool. Yeah, do it in Europe. And I mean, thing with Europe is every country is so close. So it's like, oh, if it's in, England or whatever, it's only 45 minutes away from France or whatever. So it's like not too bad. Where it's
Yeah.
like, if you're in the States, you could be in Texas and like that's the middle of the country, but you're still like 5 hours away,
Yeah.
whatever. It's like, it's so far for
Yeah.
people. But so yeah, I mean, the distance wise with airplanes and things like that, it's not so bad anymore.
Yeah, shout out to all the listeners who are in the Eurozone, the EU or Britain. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate you. And I really hope that the Galactic Championship is actually going to be in Europe next year because I would love to fly over there again.
Yeah,
Like it's
get that
Europe.
excuse.
Yeah, I know, right? And like you said, like you can, hey, if you day one out, okay, go to Germany, go to France, go to Luxembourg, wherever you want to go. Go to the Nordic countries. It's right there. Make a week of it. I think that'll be really, really fun because Vegas is like, I don't know, Vegas is Vegas. There's stuff to do, I guess, on the Strip. But like at the end of the day, it's I don't know. It's not as
Well,
there's not
it's
much history.
probably good that it's only a weekend.
Yeah, it's only good weekend out. Yeah. Okay. So I think those are the topics I think for today. Oh, actually, one thing. What are you doing to prep for PQs?
Ooh, well, so I'm only gear definitely going to one at the moment. I'm assuming I'm going to get into the one that's close to us in New Jersey, where the Red Seal, they did a great job last time. They haven't opened up there. Signups yet. So as soon as they do, last time it was like under 5 minutes, they were sold out.
Yeah, I
So
remember.
we need to be right on top of that and make sure we get in. But I assume I should be able to get in this time. I don't think it's going to be as a matter of a rush. So for those two, like Red Cap and Red Seal, Philly and the one in Jersey here, they're a little bit later on. So I think right there in February, both of them.
Yeah, I think so. February.
So this month, this January month, I'm just trying to play as many games because I feel like I need to go with the meta deck now. Because like
Yeah, I know.
I was dabbling with the Palpiello. I love Palpiello, love Palpatine as a leader, but I'm not doing as well as I think I could, just based off of the fact that these other decks are still, oh, they're gonna be mainstays. We're gonna see them. So I've been practicing a lot with the Jango deck because it is very similar to the Kylo deck that I liked from last set.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of tools, but I
So
think I might have to practice that.
pretty much don't experiment. Just go with like a top
I
three beta
think,
deck and just
yeah. I
practice up.
mean,
Like,
yeah. This next week or so is probably just like, am I doing it? And then I have to lock it in. I gotta lock it in because otherwise, I don't want to be like figuring it out a week or a day before. It's like, no, I gotta make sure I'm figuring this deck out, playing as much as possible, knowing what my sideboard is, trying to figure out the or predict the decks that are gonna show up. We're gonna get a lot of mirrors, I'm sure. We're gonna get, if I'm playing Django, we're gonna get the boss. We're gonna get the, I assume we're gonna get Sabine still. We're gonna get those, and obviously Han one yellow, which you're playing, I assume. So
Maybe. We'll
knowing
see.
those matchups, like that's the key, is like knowing those matchups, knowing the sideboard, and really figuring out the resourcing, because I think especially with game one, like knowing the resources, figuring that out and figuring out what game one's going to look like and what needs to come in, what needs to go out, what I need to save, what to expect. And knowing, having played a year of SWU here, it's like, all right, these are the things that I'm not good at right now. I am not good at resourcing and knowing what to resource in what situations, because I think that's really what's going to win and lose your games. And then taking damage when I should be taking damage, or not taking, but hitting the face when I should be hitting the face, or not hitting, those like those decision spaces. I just got to figure that out with this deck here and with the specific matchups, because that changes with each match. Like if you're playing a boss who's just going to remove everything, that changes what your decision space and your sequencing. But yeah, just practicing against those matchups, I think, are going to be key for me specifically. And then I'm obviously going to get thrown some weird wrenches of like, oh, here's a Luke Green ECL. It's like, what?
What do I do with this random deck?
It's
You gotta do best of you gotta train with best of threes. You gotta practice the sideboard. I think one tip that I learned recently that I never really thought about was like if you're going to experiment with adding new cards to your deck, just add one at a time, play a couple games, see how it feels, and then see if you want to go to two, and then see if you want to go to three. Right? Don't like add two or three like off the bat. Just like slowly integrate the cards into your deck so that
Well,
and
what do
then like.
you, so you're slowly integrating those cards, but like, are you doing that because like, oh, hopefully I'll hit this one single card? Like, are you like, what is the reason to have a single card of something other than like obviously playtesting, like, oh, here, hopefully, because the one-offs don't necessarily make sense
Well,
unless it's more
I think this is
specific
for me like
purpose.
it's if you're trying to change your gameplay, right? So like let's say you find yourself constantly resourcing this one card, right? Which I do myself. Like let's see if I replace it with something else. And then if it does hit, right? Because if I'm going to resource it anyway, right? If that's the if that's the if that's what happens with the cards I'm choosing, if I resource it anyway, then it's pretty much a giveaway card, right? It doesn't really matter if it's going to be the new card or not. But if I get the new, if I do draw the new card, because I'm going to play, 10, 15 games with this card in circulation, it's going to hit at least once. I mean, statistically, it should, right? And then I get it, and I'm like, oh, I want to use this. I'm not resourcing this. Then I know, like, oh, okay, I really want this card in my hand, or I want this somewhere, right? And then what's going to happen is the next game after I start realizing that pattern, I'm going to switch. I'm going to add two of that, and then switch out the other one that I was going to resource anyway. Now, does it feel better? Right. And then at that point, it's like, okay, do I want one in my sideboard? Do I want one in my main board? And that's why I choose to only do the one at a time. Or when someone mentioned it, it didn't make sense at first. But when I think about it, when I've actually tried to implement it into like my deck building like strategy, like, oh, okay, I can see why. Because if you add two or three off the rip, like, you don't really know what if you would make that choice, right? Because it's made for you rather. But now, like, I know, like, okay, I want
Gotcha.
this card in my
No, it
hand.
makes a lot of sense. So like, yeah, oh, I keep resourcing card A. So you have three of those. You put one in and leave two of the card A and have one of card B.
Yeah, exactly. And then okay, I
No,
keep
I like
resourcing
that.
card A. Let me add another resource B, card B. And then if I see a switch, like okay, now I know I want this card.
No, that's cool. That's good. That's good advice for sure.
Oh, thanks. I mean, it's from shout out to Tyler, from the Monkey Gaming team,
Yeah, there you
because
go.
we were at the show at the Sword Showdown. There was a player in front of me that I had defeated, and we were talking about he was playing Rex Screen, but it was like a modified Rex Screen. Like I didn't really know where he was trying to build with it. And then he was talking about like what should I do with this or this card. And we're talking, okay, you want to add if you want to try if you're an experiment, this is how you experiment. This is probably the best way or better way to experiment with adding new cards into your deck. And then Tyler gave his thoughts, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then I started implementing it for the over the last week with my Han 1 deck. Like, okay, I like
Nice.
this. So.
And is that what you're doing there to prep for your PQ season? I heard you're going to be doing a couple of them, a little more than me.
I'm doing like six, and I mean I'm scheduled for like five or six. I don't know if I'll do all of those. I just have them on the books. I was debating whether or not to travel to like to like Arizona, because my brother's in Arizona, so I was thinking about going to like the North Phoenix one. Don't think I'll make it to that though. But in terms of prepping, I'm only gonna stick with two decks, sticking with my guns, right? And I will on the day of how I feel. That'll pretty much dictate. I want two decks because, like, if I like for example, if I want Django, and then someone like in week the first 2 weeks hasn't answered the Django, and then also another couple of decks, right? Like, let's say it answers all the palps, Django, and then also answers Sabine. Like, I'm not playing Django anymore because that deck's gonna dominate, right? So I'd rather just hard pivot into a deck that I know that I've played like 100 games in. And also, I think for me, from different from last time, again, like you mentioned, like just playing a meta deck is probably PQs are not the time to experiment because you're gonna be there if you're playing like we have, right, the entire time. Like, you don't want to be playing a really bad deck for 10 hours, 7 hours straight. You know, like,
Well,
you might as well
if
just.
you're playing a bad deck, you're probably not playing for that long.
I know, well, yeah, I know, but I mean, I always want to finish out. Like, you know, it's
Fair.
I guess it's a completionist in me. And then I think the other thing that I'm doing for PQ prep is meaningful games where I actively seek advice and I actively like will help my opponent to also help me. Right? I'm like, I think you should play this. But then, if they're like, "Why? I know. Why would I play? Why would I do that?" Then we kind of had that banter back and forth, kind of like what we were doing the other day, with our decks. Like, all right, like, why would like I think you should do this because I might have this kind of deal. Like talking through it, I think that's actually really critical because you know, no one success isn't always done in a vacuum. You should probably try to, you know, not probably, but like, asking for help is not a bad thing, and asking for help in many different ways can show or manifest itself in a lot of positive ways. Just, you know, just ask, you know, it's
Yeah,
like
no,
people are
absolutely.
doing
It's
that, you know.
like no one ever really gets anywhere by themselves, right? You have a support system to help you get to places. That's awesome. I like that. And I really did like our session we had. We got to practice a couple of matches back and forth, do some discussion. I think that really does help. To talk it out, like discuss your mindset as far as what you're thinking, what your play lines, your options are, playing them out and seeing what happens. Obviously, in paper form, it's a lot easier to kind of just play certain scenarios if you wanted to, figure that out. We used Carabast. It's a great tool. I don't, but obviously, it's not a great best way to play. There's bugs and stuff. But yeah, just being able to discuss it with your partners or teammates or anybody that you come across that you're playing with is a great way to improve yourself. And yeah, knowing your en enemy, so to speak, right? Just what you're going to be facing and doing that. Like, I think playing these other decks as well, playing them as if you were the opponent. Like, I got to play the Han One, the yellow, and see how I feel playing it, so I know how to play against it, kind of thing.
No, 100%. Because like it's so easy, especially with Carabast, right? Which is a great platform, like you said. Not only are there, you know, bugs or whatever, but like some like you're not practicing the hand motions, right? Like you're not practicing the resourcing, you're not checking your, you know, it's hard. It's like very different and than actual play. So you get into a lot of bad habits, not only with
Yeah,
that like
definitely.
hand mechanics, but then also like if you're not talking to somebody and you're just like playing on Carabast like game after game after game after game, that's actually probably to me detrimental because you're making the same. Probably making the same mistakes. You might learn something. You probably are learning something, but the rate of learning is probably really, really slow because you're just reflecting on yourself, right? And some people are really good at that. Others probably need some support, like me. Like I found myself, especially with set one, when I was playing Carabas, I kept playing Sabine. I kept making the same mistakes, which then reflected in like store showdowns and stuff. And that's why I kept like I never did well. Like I was constantly at, well, I wasn't constantly, but like I would like miss games that I probably should have won. And then in set two, because I sought help and was asking for advice, right? I, you know,
ramped up, and I was like, all right, now I'm consistently placing top eight, top four, and like store showdowns. I think for this season, right now, it's actually getting to that next level. You know, like that fellow competitor who's like who also wants to win, but you're sharp. You know, you're sharpening yourselves like between each
Right.
other. Right, I think that's really, really, really critical. On top of using the tools that are available to you, like Tabletop Simulator and Carabast.
Yeah, you need that other perspective. Like you're going to see things in a certain way, but that other perspective will absolutely open up a whole new world of like, oh, I did not even realize this is a possibility, or I should have been doing this or that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people knowing decks inside and out, like asking them questions like, oh, you're a really great Sabine player. Like, how do I play against this? How do I play this? Or you're a great Jango player. Like, how do I approach these situations? Like finding those people to talk to is great. And that's why, like, yeah, having a team is so much benefit. There's a benefit to that. Even if you don't have like a professional team or anything, just have a
Yeah.
group of friends that love the game and want to
Yeah.
play it. But yeah, that's
Yeah,
what's been great.
that don't get upset if you like go on a tear.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happened with us. I mean, it's pretty funny. We're pretty back and forth, which I think is good. You know, there's not one person who's like,
Mean, there's learning opportunities in every situation, right? So if you can see that and you look at it that way, then you're going to have a lot more fun and a better experience than if you're always just trying to win or be competitive. It's, yeah, it's going to come, but you need to have that open-mindedness first.
Yeah. Agreed 100%.
But yeah, very
All
excited
right.
for a new year. I
What's up?
saw I looked up Secrets of Power, I think was the one we missed.
Secrets of Power. Oh man, we're bringing it all the way back to
Yeah.
the first topic. Secrets of Power. I have no idea what that's gonna be, what that set's gonna be about. It's a theme set, obviously, but like what? I don't have no idea. No clue. Secrets of Power.
It's a theme set, right? Because we're gonna get theme set with Jump, and then we'll get an era. Is it an era set with
Of
Legends of the
course,
Force?
I know. I think Legends of the Force is what era would it be? Like,
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. We're just gonna get three themes sets.
I think that
Yeah,
might be the case this year.
well, could be. I wouldn't mind it necessarily because I would like to see. I wouldn't want them to restrict themselves to like, oh, we have to put these characters in because it's from, the Mando days or whatever. I don't know, like after Vader. I
The
don't
post,
know.
yeah, the post episode
No, I
six,
would not
like
want
era.
necessarily a Force Awakens era theme.
Yeah. That's gonna happen eventually. We'll see what happens. Maybe the I try not to think about the Rise of the Resistance era.
But yeah, well, looking forward to another great year of SWU, so.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. And to everyone else out there, hope you do too. Until next time, thank you for listening, and may the force be with you.